Okay, so welcome to our third week of You Matter, and we're going to look at our third life-changing skill this evening, living a healthy lifestyle. Physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually is what living healthy really means. We're going to zero in a little bit more on the health, the physical tonight, because we've been speaking a bit about our mental and emotional and how that impacts us spiritually. And again, always remember that you do matter. You matter to God, you matter to me, to the people around you in your life, and to the world that doesn't even know you yet. So looking at a healthy lifestyle, encompassing each of these aspects, it's part of our entire being. The first two skills we dealt with, not complaining, but taking responsibility and pause and making change if we need to, and having those self-affirmations, understanding how amazingly you are woven together, that you are beautiful, that you are designed for purpose, and to live in that state of thanksgiving and turning your praise to God, acknowledging where all our good things come from, seeing Him in every day, they impact every other aspect of your being. Equally so, your physical condition of your body can impact each of those aspects. So it's important that we have awareness and understanding of where we actually are, where in each of those areas of our life. Regular assessment of our needs need to be followed up by action steps in areas that get out of balance. So, and we all get out of balance at times. Can I know it? And what am I going to do about it? So practicing the daily art of not complaining, assessing where you are, and making good decisions, then following up with positive action steps will help us towards our goals in life. These include believing you're beautiful, empowered for great things. Each of these actions sets us up for successful living. So an added strength is having this physically strong body. And there are many scientific studies that prove how our health impacts our attitudes. Please Google them. It's fascinating when you actually start looking at that aspect. Once again, the Bible has wisdom to share in 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. As with all of God's laws, they benefit us. He made us and He knows what works best for us. It's not just for survival, but to live life to the fullest. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come, Jesus said, that you can have life and that you can have it to the fullest. So let's choose a good attitude as we look a little deeper on how to take care of our bodies and actually see it as a joy. I don't know if any of you are like me, but I have definitely had times in my life when I look at it, oh no, I got to live healthy. Oh no, I can't have that to eat. Oh no, I got to exercise. So none of that. Let's look at it as a joy to take care of our bodies. Oh my gosh, how exciting. Now, it does take discipline to consistently take care of your body. And discipline is seen as a burden often, as a negative, but we're going to reframe this as a gift. Discipline is a gift to us. Forming new habits, we spoke about it before, equips us to continue in progress. And as you, when it comes to healthful living, you're going to have to do some research to see what's best for your particular body and circumstance and choose to put what's required into practice and act for you. For some people, walking is great. For others, swimming is great. For some, going to the gym is great. For some, this kind of food works and that kind of food does not work. There are some basic concepts that are vital, but for each of us, there'll be specific things that work and don't work. So you're going to have to practice, play around, and work on that. At the end of the day, it's all about repetition. Repetition, repetition, repetition. Don't give up. Persevere. And that's when it helps to get an accountability group or a partner if you struggle. often we think we just got to be able to do it. I can just do this. And if you've ever failed, I raise my hand super high. When you have an accountability person, it's a totally different ball game. And a vital aspect of success in healthful living is to set SMART goals. I'm going to talk about that in a minute again. So to reinforce the joy of healthful living and the building blocks required, I want to make it fun, because remember, we're seeing this in a happy light, and just use the word Jabula, J-A-B-U-L-A. It's an isiZulu, sort of a slang Zulu African word that means to be happy. So I've used that acronym, Jabula, to be happy, as building blocks to live a balanced physical, emotional, spiritual lifestyle for happiness. So the J stands for joyful eating, choosing a healthy diet, and not seeing it, remember, as a burden, but as a joy. The A is for activity, getting in adequate exercise. The B is for balance, having adequate rest in your lifestyle. Do you sleep enough? Do you have enough hours? The U I've taken for up there, getting just enough sunshine on your body and making sure you get fresh air in your lungs. The L is for laughter, which needs to have a place in your life. And the A is for attitude of positivity, thankfulness, and spirituality. So here are some healthy living tips in joyful eating as a dietary building block. The gastrointestinal tract is the most grounding part of your body. Your belly talks to your brain and has a direct effect on your well-being. Maintaining your blood sugar levels is important to keep insulin levels from going too low or too high day and night. Allowing those blood sugars to go too high or too low can lead to inflammatory state, which is the opposite of well-being. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that at the very end, just as a little bit of extra detail. So what are some good blocks to maintain our blood sugar levels? Number one, hydrogenated fats can be the most detrimental to our health and should be avoided. They consist of shortening, like which we find in cakes and cookies, in packaged foods, as pre-made flat meats, creams, crackers. Good fats, on the other hand, are in olive oil, avocado oil, coconut oil. And this is real basic. There's lots of details you can research in each of these. Sweetened beverages can be a downfall for upsetting your sugar level because of how quickly it enters your bloodstream, creates those highs and lows real suddenly. That would include sodas, sweet tea and coffee, Slurpees, juices, anything with a high sugar content. Fruit juice squeezed from the fruit has less sugar. It has nature's fiber, but you shouldn't drink more than half a cup of it at a time because it's still loaded with sugar. If you are drinking more than two sodas a day, you actually could set your body up for an inflammatory state. Having sugary drinks with a meal can minimize the swing of blood sugar. So if you have to have it, it's better to have it with a meal. Of course, preferably, it's great, should be your goal to avoid it altogether. I've heard a tip before that if you're used to sodas, and the way to transition is not the fake sugar sodas, they're really toxic for you, but to have like sparkly water that you put flavor in, if you need the sparkle, if you like bubble. Otherwise, if you don't like water, you can put fruit in your water. Some essential oils that you can drink can make it exciting, can change it up. If you get bored with water and you're used to going for a flavored soda, different flavors in your drinks, your water, can really help you in the day. So let's look at food for health. Try to eat 5 servings of fruits and vegetables each day. Now, a serving is a half to a three-quarter cup, and vary the food types if you can. For your best well-being, meat servings should be minimized to once a day. Legumes or beans are suitable, a substitute for meat, which give good high quality as well. But not the high concentration of meat protein, which can be inflammatory if eaten in large quantity. So that's greater than 3 ounces per meal. Whole grains with fiber and protein should be incorporated into your diet while limiting refined carbohydrates. Now, refined carbohydrates are simply forms of sugar and starches that don't exist in nature. These carbs cause spikes in insulin levels and can create... Sorry, someone just texted me and that just distracted me. So let me start that again. Refined carbs are forms of sugar and starches that aren't in nature. Those carbs cause spikes in insulin levels and can include sweets, salty snacks, cereals, white bread, sugary foods, and desserts. And they're sort of everywhere we go. Food quantities. Use the plate method per meal. Draw an imaginary circle. And if you put a half a veggie, half the plate is veggie, a quarter, which is 3 ounce protein, and a quarter of whole grain carb. Drink adequate water a day, 8 glasses at least a day. And remember, we spoke about getting adequate rest. It is vital to get adequate sleep. Many times we go for a soda or caffeine or we eat just because we're tired. Here's some tips if you struggle to sleep. So think of, what are your evenings like? Make it an entire event to sleep. So eat protein for your evening meal and eat early. Don't eat late. Don't snack throughout the rest of the evening. 2 hours before bed, you should start winding down. It's important to learn to sleep well and paramount to wellness. Once you've got sleep under control, a lot of other things fall into place. Now, there's other details you can add to sleeping well, like not having your phone next to your pillow and all those kind of things that go on in your room. And there's a lot of research you can do on that. And some tips for during the day. Do deep breathing if you're sitting all day at an office on a chair. Take time to do deep breathing. Never sit for more than an hour without getting up and moving about. And drink water gradually throughout the day. Choosing to take care of your physical body is one of the greatest gifts you can actually give yourself. It reveals how much you truly value who God created you to be. The disciplines of diet control challenge you to actually look at yourself, gives you self-revelation. Ask yourself, why do you struggle with self-control? Why do I choose to eat the things that I do? Do I really respect myself enough to care for my body? They're hard questions. I remember I was at a workshop once, and this woman who had terminal cancer and turned her life around through diet and all sorts of holistic treatments, she's an unbelievable story, spoke. And I bumped into her afterwards and I said to her, you know, I love what you said. I kind of go in and out of healthful living. I'm like super healthy and then I morph into, you know, my husband's lifestyle and then I get super healthy again and it kind of comes and goes for me. And she looked at me and she said, why do you think it comes and goes? Why do you morph into his lifestyle? And I couldn't answer her. She said, perhaps you don't think enough or love yourself enough to care enough. And then she challenged me to the 21 days of affirmations. And it was quite a process. I didn't want to own it at first. But as I really started looking at it, and now if I have to, you know, bring it before God and really say to him, why is it a problem for me? Why don't I care? Why can I be good and then suddenly on a day I just want to eat a bowl of popcorn with raisinets and I want a cup of coffee with like soaked in cream and what is that all about? And now I can start looking at where my emotions are when I'm super tired. I've gotten to understand the rhythm of my body and when I become vulnerable. And when I know now that those are the vulnerable times for me, that I get really tired, if I have a disappointment and that these things come upon you sort of at the same time and you'd suddenly let down for a minute, it just all, whatever, though you go to that comfort place. And I understand why I go to sweet things for comfort. It's part of my story. And my mama spoiling me. And anyway, there's all sorts of stories we have connected to that. And now I know when I get to that, that's when I have to go and press into God. I have to, instead of going to my kitchen, I need to go to my bedroom. I need to get on my knees and just let God refresh me. I've had enough time in my life when I've seen Him refresh me purely from the Word and purely from prayer, or going out for exercise and letting that regenerate me. Those two things. And I have to simply say, God, give me the discipline to go to You in the right way instead of going to those things. And again, it's a habit we form. It's a pattern we develop. And if you fail once, you just, I'm going to do better next time. And before you know it, you create that new neural pathway once again when your go-to place changes. Remembering that our bodies are the only vehicles we have. And we will either deplete them or we can be energized through them. And in God, we can have this treasure and the gift of energy and life-giving wellness within us. So let me pause for a minute and go through setting SMART goals. It's just like we spoke the previous 2 weeks. What do you say to yourself? You cannot say, I will. I'm going to lose those 20 pounds. I'm going to exercise. I want to. All the wannabe, could-a-be, ends-up, should-a-be, you never be. You need to be able to make the decision. I am changing my lifestyle right this minute. And here's how you're going to help yourself to set SMART goals. They are success goals. And they need to be. The S is for specific. The M is for measurable. The A is for achievable, the R is for realistic, and the T is that they're time-based. So write down one goal that you have. So I'd like you all right now just for a minute to have your write it down minute. What is one goal that comes to mind that you would like to work on? And let's think of a health goal. And if you are in the process of already changing your life and you've made the decision to, what is one that you're struggling with? So write one thing down that you want to change. And it may be cut out sugar, lessen my carb, exercise, whatever that one thing is, lose X amount of pounds, learn how to sleep better, whatever it is. So here's what a SMART goal does, and it would be great, and this is going to be your homework, to take that one goal, and perhaps you will then do it with other goals, and think of all of them in a health perspective. If you say, I want to lose 10 pounds, you have to break it down. So being specific and measurable means, okay, I'm going to follow a diet. Now, being specific, that means the protein I'm going to eat is that portion of my plate. There'll be lean meats, maybe fish if you eat fish, legumes 5 times a week. Maybe I'll have lean red meat once or twice a week. So whatever, again, here's what is realistic for you. If you're a heavy red meat eater every single meal, bacon every single morning, you may want to say, make it work for you that it's realistic as you transition. Remember, 3/4 of your plate is vegetable. What vegetables am I going to actually have? Am I going to have the 3 or 4, 2 for dinner? I'll have a mixed salad for lunch, and here's what will be in my salad. 2 fruits a day. Again, some fruits, if you're wanting to lose weight, don't help. Some help better. Berries are fabulous for you. And so pick your fruits for the day. And then if you need your snacks, Maybe you'll have nuts. Make sure you take them with you in a little baggie or something. 2 snacks a day. Your 8 bottles of water. If you can't handle water, how are you going to flavor that it's healthy for you? And there's lots of fun, interesting things you can put into this to make it sustainable. You have to replace things that you've had with something else that is better for you. There's so many details to this, but that's how specific you become. What am I going to eat tomorrow? And then the next piece of that is exercise. What am I going to do? I'm going to walk 3 miles 3 times a week. Or you're going to go 1 mile 6 times a week, or 5 miles twice a week, or you're going to go to the gym twice a week. Whatever your exercise is, how many times are you going to go? Where are you going to go? And then the achievable and realistic is, can I actually pull this off? And it links in with the time. When do I want to have this done? Do I want to lose 10 pounds in 2 months, in 6 months? Oh, I'd have to lose them in 2 weeks. Is that realistic for me, where I'm at? Probably not. I'm not going to eat next to nothing. It's not going to work for me. And if that is an unrealistic timeline, there's no way I'm going to succeed. And that's why we fail in our goals, because they become very unrealistic. And then we go, I can never do this. When in fact, if you just, play around with these things or numbers, change your timeline, maybe you'll make it a bit longer, look at your finances, can I go to the gym? No, I don't have enough money for the gym. Well, that's okay. Then I can walk. I need zero money to go and walk. I hardly have any hours in the week, and I get up this early and I go to bed that early and I work the whole time in between. Well, maybe you're going to say on the weekend, I'm going to walk Saturday and Sunday. Maybe one day in the week on a Wednesday, you can go and walk for 10 minutes or 15 or 20 minutes. So play around with your time. Play around with your numbers so that they all make sense. And another key thing is, when you go to bed tonight, plan tomorrow. Take that SMART goal, look at it, and have your food ready for tomorrow. Have your exercise shoes and outing clothing ready for tomorrow. So when you whip up in the morning, your brain doesn't have to start scrambling when you're, oh my gosh, you're on a time. It's already a pattern, and it's like an automation. And so you step right into it. And for a while, it becomes an effort to plan the night before. And if you have to make food, make it maybe on the weekend so that it's ready in the week. So, because often our downfall is that we're starving, we haven't prepared, we grab and go. And it becomes, do I care enough about my body to take time to plan ahead? We plan ahead for most of the things we do in life. Why do we not plan ahead to take care of ourselves? And it is the vehicle that will give us the rest of our lives. So we really need to adjust our entire thinking about how critical it is that we have the joy and see it as a joy. I'm going to take care of myself. We think of taking care of, oh, I got to go to the spa, I got to do my nails, I need a gift, whatever it is that you love. But I need to tell my brain, oh, I'm taking care of myself now. This is so cool. I'm nurturing me. I'm giving myself a gift. And every time you do something special and you change your diet and you do your exercise, you need to feel the love that you're giving yourself. It's a total reframing. And then you get to know, do you really care enough about this body God has given you, your vehicle for the future? And once you do this plan, it's so much easier to stick to it. And you're pre-programming your brain to make the choices you want and not let the situations control you. So the key, and one of the key successes to success in all of this is asking the Lord into this journey with you. He will show you where you're weak, and then he'll show you how to rise above them. And it's a journey. You may not find every success every single day. But if you're listening and you're determined and you invite him in, why on earth is he not going to help you out? And then you listen, and it's a process. And every time you understand a little more about it, you say, oh my gosh, I can hardly control that, God. Please help me. I have just experienced it the last 3 days. I'm exhausted. I'm not adhering to what I know is necessary sleep for me. And it's okay for me right now because I'm finishing a book. I have a great commitment and I am doing it and I know it's a season. So I'm gracious with myself because I'm honoring the commitment to get this done. So as I'm getting tired, I'm really being sustained enormously by God. And then I had a disappointment 2 days ago with a story that was promised and I did all the work and it's just a whole story and it's not going to be in the book and it's a phenomenal story. And I didn't know that I was so sad about it. And I, in my tiredness, the next day, I sensed the deep disappointment, and it unlocked my weariness. And it's in those moments that Satan wants to step into our lives. He knows when we're vulnerable. He knows when we're tired, we're weak, and we're worn. Think of when Jesus had watched his diet. He had fasted those days in the wilderness, and when he was in that state of exhaustion and must have been at times exhilaration because of the closeness to his Father, Satan came right in and he tried to tempt him. He tried to hit him hard. And why would we think it's any difference with us? So when life, or when you're on a great task and you know that your physical life is out of balance, from exhaustion, from emotional pressure, you got to know that you're vulnerable and that you're a target. And that's, it's good to know that, because when the thoughts started being darted at me this week that I wanted to just almost go like, I can't believe this. It took me off my rhythm. I just wanted to think for a minute, oh boy, I'm not going to finish this. I could feel the lies being whispered in my ear of despair and the discouragement. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. This is just one story. And my brain knew that this was ridiculous, but my emotion and my tired being was just soaking this. And I'm like, uh-uh. And that's when I had to go and say, Lord, help me. I made the big bowl of popcorn. I put the Raisinets all over them. I'm like, I've just been so great on my diet, and I sat there the one afternoon, and I just had, man, I took these little chia, whatever crispy things I have, and I put cheese on, and I made nachos. I had everything in one afternoon, and I had to get up the next day and just say to the Lord, nope, you get a grip on me. This is not okay. I cannot be weakened. And I am, and it's okay, but your grace is stronger than that. And I had to go to the Word and just spend time with him. And just, I knew that he would restore me. I didn't know how. I didn't care how. I didn't anything. And do you know that today, God gave me an entire day of fasting and prayer and writing and hearing a new story. And he always replaces what he removes. When it seems like the darkest thing ahead of you, he gives you the brightest thing you could ever have dreamed on. That's God. Not that he wants doors to close, but if the world and others close them on us, he's go, hey, baby, I'm God. I'll give you an even bigger diamond ring. And so I got an incredible story to replace the one that I lost. And there's just so much more from that one story. And I had a day, and I didn't even know that I didn't eat. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be skipping our meals, but at times when we do fast and pray, because we're enveloped in God, it's a different place to be in. And he restored me more than I even have been every other day. So the secret is to let him into your journey and let him show you where you're weak so that you can rise above him. So when it comes knocking, you know to run to him. It's so often at these times we discover little unmet needs, hurts. You hear your inner voices, the voices of others that have impacted your struggles with diet and exercise in your life. And that's when we start to use your affirmations go into thanksgiving, go into praise, monitor your words and your self-talk and your thoughts. Repeat scriptures that give you strength, encourage, and empower you. Our power is in God's word. It washes over us and something radically changes. So in closing, I want to share some foundational concepts again, just adding a little bit of depth. And this is from Dr. Caroline Leaf. I'm speaking about the C-reactive protein and how our bodies react to toxic thought. So combining our first 2 weeks of complaining and not viewing ourselves the way God made us, and how those toxic thoughts impact our physical bodies. As Philippians 4 verse 6 says, don't be anxious about anything. And here's a little bit of why God says that. It doesn't just have spiritual and mental implications, but physical. Our bodies react to physical attacks, whether it's trauma, infection, and a little mental alarm in a similar fashion by a process called inflammation. And inflammation involves different types of white blood cells and various substances, including many different types of cytokines. Inflammation, if short-lived, is beneficial. However, if it's prolonged, it can physically damage the brain and the body. Among substances first released in this inflammatory process is the appropriately named C-reactive protein and the five-part protein that the liver produces. Researchers have found that worrying about a past stressful event known as rumination is associated with persistently high levels of C-reactive protein in the blood, indicating chronic inflammation of the body. And then chronic inflammation, if it goes on too long, is associated with mental and physical disorders. That's why when we come to the Father and we say, I'm sorry, forgive me, he says, yes, it's gone, we're done. We have to let go of it. And that's why we can't hold on to things of the past. And we have to let go. We have to let go our fear, our anger, our unforgiveness. They're so connected because it affects you physically if you do not. We cannot control our circumstances. However, we can control our reactions to our circumstances. And it seems that our reactions can be measured by the C-reactive protein. If we react in the wrong way, we damage our brains and bodies. We have to take heed to what Paul says in the scripture. In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, verse 6. So, for homework. Please assess your eating habits this week. Just make a little note. Scribble them in a little notebook where you go out for lunch. Write down what you had. Just write it down. Don't make a big deal of it. Just try and scribble it down. And then in the evening, just look at what there was. And sometimes we eat things and drink things we're not even aware of if we haven't set our smart plan together yet. And then see if there's any changes you feel you need to make. So write down your eating habits, set some SMART goals, and if you struggle with it, get help. I know at times I get an accountability partner. I think one of you have joined as well. We've joined Kathy Rogers, who has right now an accountability group. And their group really teaches a lot of stuff about healthful living, like drinking warm water with lemon first thing in the morning. It flushes your body out. So there's so many details. And sometimes these health groups teach you what is clean food, what are pesticides in. There's just layers. So we're in this group at the moment. Just every now and then I love to be part of it again to refresh me in case my habits weaken out again. And life wears me down and I forget to take care of my body and I just let go. So it's always good to have a refresh and a restart and get help. If you need help, get hold of me. I'll plug you in. And I love this, Frederick Buechner says, pay mind to your own life, your own health and wholeness. A bleeding heart is of no help to anyone if it bleeds to death. How simply profound is that? So let's have a prayer. Thank you, Father, that you have created us masterfully. Thank you that we are resilient. Can't believe what we do to ourselves, and yet we keep ticking. I pray for each of our bodies this week that you will alert us to what we're doing with them. Again, you do it with no condemnation. This is about growing in you, having that joy in life. You promised that we would live life to the full and have it more abundantly. Turn our thoughts around about healthful living. Let us look at it as a gift, a joy, and what more can I learn? Show us, Lord, what do I need to know? What can I do better? And then give me the strength. Let us run to you for strength. Let us get those scriptures and quote them and just make it a new part of our relationship with you, that we can take care of these bodies that you've given us. I thank you. I just thank you that you make it so easy for each of us to live life to the fullest. Amen. Yeah.